Die Dame, die sie jetzt erwartet, hat nicht nur eine spannende Biografie, sie vertritt hier heute auch eins der spannendsten Projekte, die es im Internet zu finden gibt. Florence Devoir ist eine Frau der Wissenschaft. Sie studierte an einer französischen Elite-Universität Agrarwissenschaften und machte dort zusätzlich Abschlüsse in Biotechnologie und Genetik. Danach arbeitete sie für die französische Forschungsorganisation für Agronomie, INRA, welche Teil eines der größten landwirtschaftlichen Wissenschaftszentren der Welt ist. 2002 engagierte sie sich das erste Mal in dem noch jungen Online-Lexikon Wikipedia. Sie begann, wie jeder andere Nutzer, bestehende Artikel zu editieren und neue Inhalte einzustellen. Schnell war sie fasziniert vom Prinzip der gleichzeitigen Leser- und Autorenschaft und investierte viel Zeit in die Community-Pflege und den Ausbau des französischen Wikipedia-Ablegers. Florence Devoir wurde Administratorin in der französischen und englischen Wikipedia und schließlich Mitglied des Kuratoriums der Wikipedia Foundation. Im September 2006 löste sie den Gründer Jimmy Wales als Vorsitzende ab. Für die, die sich mit Wikipedia bisher nicht ausführlich beschäftigt haben, hier einige kurze Grundinformationen. Die Online-Enzyklopädie ist mit 4 Millionen Einträgen das umfangreichste Nachschlagwerk der Welt. Die englische Ausgabe gehört zu den 15 meistbesuchten Webseiten. Finanziert wird Wikipedia ausschließlich durch Spenden. Und sicher kann Madame Devoir ein paar Worte auch zur finanziellen Situation von Wikipedia sagen. Da gab es ja in den letzten Wochen besorgniserregende Schlagzeilen über die wirtschaftliche Zukunft dieses Projektes. Im vergangenen Jahr gab es für dieses außergewöhnliche Internetprojekt auch den Lead Award als Webleader 2006. Herzlich willkommen, Madame Florence Devoir.
So, good morning, everyone. I apologize, I do not speak German, so I could not understand the previous speaker, unfortunately, and I have the difficult task to start this afternoon session. So, today I will talk to you about Wikipedia and the Wikimedia Foundation. So I have first two questions to ask to the audience. I usually ask this question in any country I go to. So the first question, is there anyone in the audience who has never heard, never used Wikipedia? Please raise hand in case. I see no hands, that's great. You know, when I went in Nigeria 2 months ago, I had everyone in the room raising hands. Because in Europe, the project is very well known, but in other places in the world, it's absolutely unknown. So we have a lot to do there. The second question is, who has in the room has never edited Wikipedia in his life? About 50, 40% maybe. Well, that's cool. That's pretty good. So, the radical idea of Wikipedia is this one. Imagine a world in which every single person would have access to the entirety of human knowledge. Of course, that's a vision, but that's basically what we are trying to do. So what is Wikipedia? It's an online encyclopedia started in 2001, so we just celebrated our 6 years of existence. And you'll tell me, well, there are many encyclopedias already in the market. There are already online encyclopedias. In English, we have the famous Britannica. In French, we have Larousse. In German, you have Brocos, which is very good quality as well. And so why yet another one? So what's the difference with the usual encyclopedias? First, if we want to reach every single human being, we need to go beyond French, English, or German languages. So what we try to do is to reach people as much as possible in their mother languages. So we try to work in over 250 languages with various degree of completion. The second point is to lower the financial barrier. The encyclopedia is entirely free of charge. The third one is it's simply free to read. As everyone here in the room is aware of, you go on the internet and you can read the content. You do not have to register to anything. And the fourth point, it's the license. And I will talk to about this a little bit more later. Hop. I don't want this one. Hop. The entirety of the content of Wikipedia is under a free license. I will explain that a little bit more. And then there is another peculiarity to Wikipedia. It's who is creating it. The content can be created by any of you in the room, and that's the big purpose. It can be by you, it can be by me, or it can be by her. Her is my daughter. She's using a paper computer. She can edit Wikipedia, sometimes on a real one, but basically she doesn't have a computer. The message here, there are two messages. The first is, when we say that absolutely anyone can edit Wikipedia, it's whatever their age, whatever their gender, whatever their race, their color, their education level, we consider that if nobody knows everything, everybody knows something and can participate to the encyclopedia. So there's no limit. Everybody can provide something. The second point is you need a computer and you need access to internet. Well, part of the world doesn't have access to internet and part of the world doesn't have a computer. So of course here we need to, well, we rely on the people providing access and we rely on the people having access to computers. I just put here a couple of slides to explain to those who have never participated how it works. Here is an example of a page about Germany, but it's in English. I listened to the presentation this morning and I want to mention something. The design is horrible. I hope you agree with that. We have the logo, which is beautiful, and then we have some very pragmatic links to edit, to navigate, and then we have the content with text, hyperlinks, audio, video, when we can. You can even see the coordinates on the top right. But aside from this, the design is horrible, and the main reason is that the people working to write the software, MediaWiki, were all basically 10 to 20 people at most, and most of them are mostly working on the software so that it works. And we have hardly any designer to help. So if some of you, for some whatever reason, are computing designer, please come help, because this is not cool. When you want to edit, if you look at the top right, there is a link, edit this page. You find a mistake or you want to add something in the article, you click on the on this link, and then you get to the edit window with a very simple markup system. It's much easier than HTML, so everybody can learn it. You make the modification, you save. In this case, I'm identified under my username, but you do not need to be identified. You can be just a visitor and edit the page. This system becomes more known, so few people are commenting on that, but until about 2 years ago, we were receiving emails of people in panic saying, there's a bug in your website, there's something wrong. I was reading it and suddenly I had this page and I could change the content. Do something very quickly, there's a bug. So all we could answer is, well, that's not a bug, it's a feature, so you can edit. How does it work? That means an article is not written by one person, but by dozens, hundreds, sometimes thousands of editors, one after the other. And each person is going to add some content and be corrected by the previous one. And at any time, you can go back to a previous version. So even if somebody vandalized the article, and if you look at the content, this was done just 2 days ago, there's some people trying to add some vandalism. And all the time, when somebody is adding some poor comments, it is reverted to a previous version. And then we go to the suffix-it culture. The suffix-it culture is when you are not fed by the content which is on the internet, you are not just passive reading, you become an actor yourself. You see something wrong, you want to correct it, and you are given the opportunity to correct it. It's the same that when you go to on a newspaper, I have no idea if the Spiegel is in this situation, you see an article by the journalist and there is a mistake and you want to comment on the article, you want to fix the mistake and you're desperately trying to fix that and you can't do it. In this case, you see on the left side is the previous version, on the right side is the new version. so some text has been changed by an editor. That's what we call the suffixed culture. You see a problem, you don't call me to say, Florence, could you fix the mistake? Well, you just do it yourself because you are the expert and you know how to do that. And the last point, the last most important feature of the website is you have a log of modifications. So anytime, anyone, it's entirely transparent, anyone can see the changes made by the other editors. So when you consider this, you think, wow, that's crazy. That's a bit, it cannot work. And the fact is, it is working. We have no idea exactly how it works, but I think the main reason why it is working is that we let people do what they want. And when we do not try to prevent them from doing something, most of the time they will try to be honest and responsible, and they will try to care for the common goods. And that is what Wikipedia is. It's a common good. It's not something you want to hack or something you want to break or something you want to destroy. Most people consider it's a common good and they want to protect it. Is that working? 6 years of existence, I think the presentation mentioned 4 million. No, it's actually 6 million articles today. I all represented the main languages on the top, and the great news is that German is the second biggest language on Wikipedia. But be careful, because French is not very far behind, so it might be that in the future we are second. The important point about the German Wikipedia, and this is something very amazing, is that people working on this encyclopedia are really trying to work on the quality of content much, much more than on the other ones. There is a big effort toward quality. In terms of traffic, we are now in the top 10 most visited website in the world. So it's not so far away from Yahoo or Google. And it's pretty funny, because sometimes people say, you're going to be bought by Google, or some people suggest that we could exchange links so as to improve our traffic. Frankly, we do not need that. We do not need more traffic. We have exactly what we need. We don't need more. And as it was mentioned before, last year we won an award here. So it was a golden award. The problems related to this system, I want to mention that, because originally the problems we had with Wikipedia is when we had very few editors, we had some vandals coming during the night and trying to destroy the content from time to time. This is no more the case. And I want to raise a couple of concerns we have right now, which is in particular true on the English Wikipedia, but I think it's coming on the German ones because it's so big. The first problem we have is commercial spamming. Imagine you're a small company, nobody knows you, you have just a couple of customers, and you want to get more famous. What do you do? Well, you go to Wikipedia and you put an article about your company. And some even will put the company amongst the famous company. That's a big problem, and this is something we have to fight all the time. On a very similar side, we have some young artists, musicians, sculptors, painters, basically totally unknown, who come here and put an article about themselves and even go as far as listing themselves as famous painter. The problem we have with this is these people, you would never imagine finding an article about these people on Britannica or on Brocos, because these are just regular person, not well famous. And this is a big issue for us. On a similar note, politicians trying to come to the encyclopedia and trying to change the article so that they look better, so they will remove any content which is problematic for them, or paying some PR agencies so that the content is basically very positive towards them. These are issues we are facing more and more, and what we ask now is as much as possible that people provide notable sources of information. So what is happening? We have this painter, nobody knows him, he has sold about maybe one piece of art in the past, He needs some reliable sources of information. What does he do? He goes to on a blog. He creates a blog and puts information about him. Then he creates a space on MySpace and puts some information about him. Maybe he has an interview and put it on YouTube. And then he used all these websites collaboratively, considered to be part of the web.0. And then he can have some reliable sources. These are big issues. If you want to have an encyclopedia which is of quality, we need to, at some point, realize what is important and what is relevant for the future to be known and what is not, what is just daily movement. The benefits of a community-based environment are the following ones. First, collection of information. We can collect locally. When you have an encyclopedia, a general encyclopedia such as Brocos, you cannot have people, thousands of people, collecting information from everywhere. So in a website environment with user-based generated content, you can fix that. Second, you can manipulate huge sets of data simply because we have thousands and thousands of editors. And the last point is reactivity. That is something that probably all of you have noticed. If you have an event, something big, like a train crash or a bombing somewhere or a politician saying something stupid, it will be reported within minutes on Wikipedia. So when you want to have very recent information, that's a good place to go to. The three characteristics of our system are the following ones. First, we do not want the content to be biased. We do not want it to have a certain point of view. We do not want to say this is the right point of view and this one is wrong. The idea is simply to provide facts, as many facts as possible, to draw the big picture, and then the reader can come to Wikipedia and read the article and make his own mind. So to the contrary that many websites, we do not try to push people in a certain direction. We do not tell them what they should think, what they should believe, where they should go. We just give them the information, and that's their problem to make up their own mind or to read more editorial comments on any other website. The big important things there is just to provide something neutral, not to drive people in certain directions. Second big change compared to classical situation is the trust by default. We trust you to come on the project and to participate in good faith. And the third one is just to empower people. You have the opportunity to participate. I would like to move to two slides, which may be for some people a bit boring, but I think they are very, very important, in particular for the people here working in media or working as artists, which are related to what is a free license. By default, when you create something by yourself, doesn't matter if it's a text, an image, a video, whatever, something you create, by default, everywhere in the world, you have a copyright on it. That means you are the author, you're recognized as being the author, and you have the right to decide what will be done with your work. And by default, you have to give authorization for others to use your work. You need to give authorization for people to sell your work and make money on it, or to modify your work. So that means if you are the producer of a music, of a song, you have the right to decide what you do with it. And by default, everyone should ask your authorization. What a free license says is that by default, when you put something under a free license, you authorize people to use the content, what you have done. You authorize them to make money with it, others, and you authorize other people to modify it. So practically, that means that if we have an article, you're a writer, you're an editor, when you edit under a free license, you sell to people, you can do whatever you want with the text. I am the author, I'm still the author, nobody can remove that right from me, but you can do whatever you want with this license. Of course, that's a bit tough, because that means everybody can distort what you have been doing, and everybody can make money on it. The commercial, the Creative Commons licenses are becoming pretty famous, and we have more and more artists saying, well, my work is free because I put it under a Creative Commons license. There is something totally wrong there, because there is not a Creative Commons license. There are a collection of Creative Commons licenses. And the Creative Commons have defined four characteristics to their license. I want to go shortly through each of them. The first is attribution. That means when you produce something, you require that anyone using the using the work says, this person is the author, or you do not require that. The second point is the commercial authorization. You produce something and you say, I authorize anyone to use my content, but I don't want anyone to make money on it. I should be the only one. Or, second solution, you give the content and people can make money on it. Third point, derivative work. You create a text and you can say, I authorize somebody to use the text and to modify it, or this text should stay as is. And the fourth point, share alike. You decide what you authorize people to do with this text, but people should respect this over time. Why is that important? It's something I want to mention because many people say, why should I contribute to Wikipedia and give my work and everybody can use it and make money on it? Here's why it is important. If we want the content to be used by the largest number of people on Earth, this means that we also have to distribute the content, maybe through DVDs or little books or maybe videos or whatever can be mentioned there. Imagine you're somebody who wants to produce some DVDs to give to schools in Africa, for example. You're not going to produce entirely the DVD for free and to distribute it for free, because there are many signs that show that when you give something entirely for free, I mean zero, you just give away the CDs or the DVDs, people waste the thing. They think, okay, it costs nothing, so it's worth nothing. What happens is there's a little bit of difference. Here are some uses that can be done with Wikipedia content. I will take just one example. On the right-hand side bottom, you see that sort of green computer. That's the OLPC laptop. That's the one laptop per child, which is developed by the MIT in Boston. They are all doing this very small computer for kids for $100. And they want to put some content on there, on this, so that the kids can have their own content and work on them in their schools or in their home in Africa. But the people doing this laptop are not going to give them for free. They will give it for a very small price, as low as possible, just the producing cost. But just doing that, even for $100, means it's a commercial activity. So as soon as they go into a commercial activity, if we say you can't use Wikipedia for money, they can't put Wikipedia on this. So we need a license which authorizes commercialization so that the computers can have Wikipedia. Some tiny books can be produced and even sold for 10 cents. But 10 cents is a commercial activity. So that's how we can help. Last, I would like to talk about terminology because there is something a little bit unclear about that. Wikipedia is a project. That's an encyclopedia. It's just a project. Wikimedia Foundation, and note there is a M, is a legal structure. It's a legal structure which was created in 2003. And basically it had one main goal, and this goal is just to allow the website to exist and to help the content to be distributed throughout the world. So what the Wikimedia Foundation is basically doing is purchasing the servers on which Wikipedia is running, paying bandwidth, paying the hardware cost, the hosting cost, and basically making it so that technically, legally, financially, everything is working. It doesn't need to be very well known. It's just a little bit behind. Nobody knows about it. but it needs to be there so that Wikipedia can exist and people can have fun with it. And then there is what we qualify as Wikimedia. This Wikimedia environment recovers three realities. First, we have several projects, not only Wikipedia. Second, we have many, many, many people. That's what we call the Wikimedia community. And third, we have local associations. Amongst the other projects we have, I listed some of them here. There is a dictionary, Wiktionary. There is a compendium of books and manuals, typically what we can sell afterwards to school, which is called Wikibooks. Amongst the big ones, Wikicommons is a repository where we host all of our images, videos, sounds, animation, all this media stuff. We have over 1 million media objects, but still we are missing a lot of them. What is in all these media objects are under a free license, which means anyone here can use them. If you want to pick up these images and put it on your website, in schoolwork, in your business report, whatever, you can do that. It's allowed. Another interesting website, in particular in Germany, so I want to mention it, is Wikiquote. It's a collection of citations. And unfortunately, Wikiquote is not really authorized by German law, so there are some problems around this. And last, Wikisource, which is just a place where we can put all the public domain and free content we can find around. Wikimedia chapters. These are some local associations of users which were started in various countries, essentially European countries. And the first one to be created was in Germany. So it's called Wikimedia Deutschland. On the right-hand side is Kurt, is the president of Wikimedia Deutschland. And this association basically has several roles. One of them is to promote the project. So all these guys will in particular, if you have a school, go to the school to make some presentation of the project. Go to libraries to help people provide some content and use the content. So they can go to companies to try to collect some content or images. They can go to the government, to the Congress, so as to talk with the politician about what to do to help us in our goals. They have a lot of activities. And the German Association in particular is very, very, very active. So if any of you want to do something on the German territory, I invite you to contact these people. There were a lot of discussions raised over the financial situation of Wikipedia in the past few weeks. So I wanted to share a little bit about you on this. Wikipedia is currently essentially running through donations. That means that not only people are reading the content, you can read the content, you can edit the content, and you can also pay for the content if you're rich enough. The big idea is currently that most of the donations are done directly through the website, and people can donate if they feel like it. The average donation is about $20, so it's not very high. And that's how the website is running. Is that sufficient? It is sufficient right now. It will probably not be sufficient in the future. Here is what is happening. To speak figures, about 3 years ago, we needed about $50,000 to run for the year. 2 years ago, it was about $300,000. Last year, it was $1,500,000. And I expect that this year it will be about $5 or $6 million. So it's going very, very quickly. We are trying to develop some alternative system to raise more money and to collect money from business, but it's very difficult. Something which is often mentioned is, why don't you put some advertisement on the website? Because it would be done. If we could put some Google advertisement, we will have no more financial problems in the future because we will raise millions this way. But most users and most editors of Wikipedia just do not want any advertisement. It's just an ethical position. We can't do anything against that. So the main thing is that we are trying to collect through donations, and we have enough. It's working for now, but it's a concern in the future. Just don't get scared. It won't close in 3 months. It's no way. It will not happen. This is a very cool logo. It's the logo of the Wikimedia Foundation. So if you see it, that's it. And it is a reconstitution using images, free images from Wikimedia Commons, just to represent the different colors of the logo. So it's part of the creation we try to do. I would like to conclude on Time Magazine. I don't know if you know that Time Magazine is publishing once a year a special issue about the person, the important person of the year. Last year, the important person of the year were Bill and Melinda Gates and Bono because of the big foundations they are setting up so as to help in particular in Africa and Asia. And this year, and it was quite something amazing, they decided that the person of the year would be you, that is, all of us, just the people. That's the big statement of the year, saying that the important person of year 2006 were just people, regular citizens, going on the internet and doing things through Wikipedia, doing things through websites such as YouTube or MySpace, going to all the blogs. And that's basically the images on which I would like us to stay. It's just thinking that we do not need some big companies. We do not necessarily need big firms, big organizations to make things move forward. Just the people uniting together and working together can go through great things and do great things. And that's about it. Thank you.
Vielen Dank, merci beaucoup, Florence Devoir. Thank you very much.